Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Banking Reinvented. Good to have you all back. And today, I'm being joined by our new head of AI, artificial intelligence, Chris Chayan. Chris, so good to see you on the podcast. Welcome to the team.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me on the podcast. It's great to be here. It's also great to join in Backbase. Thanks for the welcome.
Most welcome. Now, maybe before we move into the rest of what is on the board for today, quick introduction, Chris. What's your background? What have you achieved so far? What is it? What does AI play into in terms of it from a career perspective? Who is Chris?
Thanks. We can go all the way to so long back, but I started coding when I was 6 or 7, just because of the family businesses. I started learning how to code, started with C++ and then moved to Java, very technical things. But the whole point that I was like learning, thanks to my brother and my dad, was like, how do we solve these business problems that we have in our family businesses? And how can these technologies help? I was really engaged with that for a really long time and tried to keep learning how these technologies can actually solve the problems that my dad has or my family have when they're running their own businesses. And later on, I get into using those technologies, contributed in open sources, focusing a lot more on solving problems. I moved to Vietnam quite a long time ago, get involved in private equity businesses. And when you're in a private equity as someone that is technology, your job is help to create more value using technology as fast as possible in the businesses. And later on, we get involved in a bank, which was the most famous, one of the number one banks in Vietnam, Techcombank, that we used Backbase there. And Backbase helped us to actually accelerate that growth and our impact really amazingly well. And since then, I've been always using technology to create business value for the customers. And recently, I was like really in love with what's happening with this AI field. And I think it's a time to switch career a little bit and get to involve more in depth with the AI and see what else can we do for banks. And I'm right now exploring and learning as much as possible. And that's my job in Backbase as of now as well.
And great to have you on the team once more. So just to recap, you're actually an executive that chose to work with Backbase many years ago with Techcombank, TCB. It's an awarded bank, if I may be so free. Maybe you can give a bit of color, like what was the success of the transformation with that institution?
I think quite many factors there. Part of it, the owner, the chairman, he really invested heavily into transformation. And he believed that transformation starts not just from the bottom up, also from top down. He put a lot of efforts in the education and training of every individual in the company. But also, he was very clear that this is a technology bank, as is also part of the name. Techcombank is actually a technology bank, meaning we need to use technology as much as possible to solve the challenges and business problems that we have. With that direction, we needed technologies that is not just a solution for us, but also a platform that we can use those platforms to deliver customer experience the way our product and visionaries, they envision for the customers and the journeys that we want to do. And we were quite religious about it, that our customer journeys and the way we design things has to be very unique to our customers. And we can actually, like what Backbase says, architect it around the customer. And we are quite very practical about it since 2018, 19, 20. We keep pushing on that direction, experimenting and learning new ways. And that's why one of the reasons we chose Backbase for it, because the Backbase architecture and product allowed us to use it as a platform to transform the way we are thinking about customer journeys and deliver tailored experiences for every customer and every persona that we have. And I think that can be one of the primary reasons that help us to be super successful in what we are trying to achieve in Techcombank. Of course, there are many other factors too, but I think this is one of the fundamental things, to be very customer-centric and use our technologies and platforms that enables us to be and accelerate us to be more customer-centric. That's, I can say that was our primary reasons of success.
Thanks for sharing. And just to be sure, it basically gives you a good data point that the blueprint and the architecture that Backbase is following was successful for Techcombank. Needless to say, this is not a promotional podcast per se, but it is the experience you're bringing to the table. So happy that you are willing to share it with the group. Hey, moving on, let's start diving in. And the first thing we always do is to take a highlight of the week, and especially with AI in the back of our minds, Chris. What stood out to you in the past, let's say, few days?
There is this recent news coming out from JP Morgan about they have launched something internally. They call it LLM Suite. But their CEO has been saying that they have more than 300 use cases of AI already live within the bank. And this LLM Suite, basically, use case is, you can consider it as a equity research advisor that helps to increase the productivity of the employees, that not only helps to increase productivity, but also helps the employees to get a better engagement with the clients. And I do think this is quite very interesting. And first, there's a lot of impediments, or a lot of people are worried that should we use AI in our banking or not. But a big bank like JP Morgan is using heavily and continuously deploying new AI use cases, including LLM, inside the organization. And as I said, CEO said, over 300 applications of AI are live within the bank. And that's just incredible. It shows that the concerns and worries are real, but there are ways to govern this, make sure there is a, as we know, we are in the banking industry, the PII, the sensitive informations, there are ways to govern this, and we can architect in a very safe way. So we should not use those things as a reasons and impediments for not adopting the AI as fast as we can. Because as if you delay this further, I think you are falling much, much more behind than competitors. And we can see it every day. There is many new capabilities keep coming out. And this news that I read it yesterday from JP Morgan, it was incredible for me to see that JP Morgan is putting LLM into the hands of its employees and is not so worried about like, hey, what's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? And they are like really going live with it and taking it to the next level. That's quite incredible.
It's remarkable, especially at this type of a bank in that size and that level of scrutiny that's typically in play, which you know even better than myself in this case. On top of that, you just mentioned that these types of changes, they need to be not just bottom-up with a demand for LLM or AI capabilities, but also top-down. And very clearly, this CEO is making the case and is driving the change, right? He's at the helm of it, if I may. And
totally. Again, these are like any other new technology that comes into the perspectives of the way we architect things for our customers. It has an era that people are a bit worried and concerned about what can it do, what it cannot do. And if there is no top-down dedication and commitment, then the adoption of those technologies can be delayed. And the consequence of delaying those adoption is like directly can be translated to the bottom line and top line of the company. Because if you are not using those technologies, you will have problems on delivering the experience that you want for your customer that can actually very quickly, as your competitor is going to do it, it can impact your balance sheets and your incomes very fast. And for that perspective, I think top-down commitment is very important, because otherwise you will have issues internal the organization that you might say the risk division has opinion, compliance has different opinions, and driving this kind of transformations is really critical if there is no top-down commitment.
That's a note for the key takeaway already. Very good. Thanks for bringing this one to the table, Chris. Indeed, remarkable that they're pushing it this aggressively. I'm also reading that they have 2,000 data scientists and machine learning engineers that are currently working on all those capabilities in JP Morgan. That's not a modest investment. They're going all in. Very much so. All right, that brings us to the meaty part of this episode. And that's indeed about what does AI mean to the digital banking industry or to the banking industry at large? Now, there's many different views on what it will do or what it won't do. I think starting position would be it is a paradigm shift, whether we like it or not. Maybe it will not materialize tomorrow, but in the coming 5 to 10 years, it will tremendously change the game. And I'm very curious to learn from yourself, Chris, what is AI in the context of our domain? What do you see? What do you think?
The good thing is AI is not new for banking. So AI has been around for banking for quite a long time, but the use cases of it was quite limited and expensive. So not many banks were able to pick up these AI use cases because the traditional AI or traditional machine learning was quite expensive for many organizations to do. But AI is not new. Banks, they are familiar with the use cases of AI, like for example, on the risk. So when we have this very famous topic of model risk management frameworks, how you manage your risk, how do you model it, how do you split test it, how do you cohort them, how do you make sure your models are improved so that you can control the fraud, control your MPLs, control your application fraud within the underwriting processes. So there are use cases, has been there quite a long time. But what's happening that is making it different this time is that first, AI is not that expensive anymore, so that more organization can access to it. Second point is you do not need to have a chief scientist and expert mathematicians, hundreds of them in your organization, so that you can start using the AI. You can actually start using AI and take the benefit of it with much less commitment on in terms of knowledge level of the resources and engineers and talents in your organization. Because of these two big shifts that has happened, is causing more and more organizations being able to adopt AI in a faster scale. And because of that, maybe it's also become a bit of a challenge. It's somehow getting out of control too. You can, everybody's like, whenever you talk to it, they are thinking like AI is like the only bullet point that you have now. You can do everything with it, right? Maybe we can, I don't know, at some point, maybe we can. But my understanding as of now is, it would be better if banks start focusing their eye on few topics that can help them. So if you talk about the banking language, one of the most important things the bank that they need to be very particularly focused on is the product holding. What does that mean? Meaning, how do we make sure the bank clients, they use as many products of the bank? Of course, we need to make sure the Shawn Ellis' score, make sure the customer satisfaction, so it's not pushed to buy products. But how do we get the customer happy enough and excited enough to use more products of the bank? And that can translate into NII and NFI, a non-interest income of the bank. So the ways, traditional ways to do that was you have more branches, more RMs, more call centers, more conversation with the clients. And later on, it become like you have an app that the app, get the customer come to the app, engage the customers on the app. So with the AI, you can still use those, but you can take it to the next level. For example, with AI, what you can do is, how do you take these conversational relationships of your RM with your clients into the next level? How do we make it more proactive? For example, just imagine this scenario that the user goes to the banking app, is looking around a specific products, let's say CDs, going around CDs, exploring CDs, and we capture this event, we translate this event, we send this event to an RM, that, hey, your potential wealth management client or your client is looking around this, and this is what we think would be the right product for this customer. Do you think you want to propose this product to the customer? And RM, take a look, we review the option, we say, hey, I propose this to the client, and then the option comes to the client. Hey, you know, we noticed that you have interest in CDs. We think you should do an investment like this, and this is reviewed and recommended by your RM. Do you want to have a call with your RM now before you make an investment? So just imagine you use an AI in this use case. It's still, we are solving the old school problem, product holding. How do we make sure that more product penetration is happening? We are still using the engagement concept. We are still using all those channels and omni-channel conversation of the banks they're always having. But we're just using an AI as an enabler or multiplier. How do you actually make this more and more personalized so that the customer can actually see what is in for them? Or another example would be like, imagine you just do a credit score as a matching a score. That what is this product matching a score for you? Like you're using this credit card. Is this CVP of this credit card based on your past 6 to 12 month spending? Is it a match for you? Is it the right product CVP for you? Should you use this product or should you change to another credit card? These are all examples that now you can, banks can use with AI to uplift the engagement to really, I don't know how many times higher, but also in the same time, I still go back to the basic business questions and problem. What is AI going to help for me? Is AI going to help you to increase your product penetration? Is going to help you to make more money, keep your customers longer with you, and hopefully keep the customers happier with you so that you can actually have a long-term relationship with the customer?
Yeah. If I hear you correctly, Chris, you're basically saying product holdings, share of wallet, right? That's the same concept, I would imagine. The theory is the same, but the technology to achieve it has been significantly upgraded by introducing AI into the equation. That's point number one to a degree. Then the other two examples that I'm hearing is, imagine journeys where the relationship manager is indeed infused by AI. able to have a view on what this customer is actually, or client in a more wealth management context, what they are actually busy researching, because they're not actively converting to a new product group, or they're not picking up the phone, they're educating themselves. So they're showing a certain level of behavior, which with AI, you can interpret and basically tell the relationship manager, you have a high probability that this individual is ready to buy, but they just need that final conversation, or, hey, maybe you can support them even further in making up their mind. So that to me sounds like a very advanced next best offer algorithm that really influences how the relationship manager day to day can be more productive and more ROI driven, if I may. The second one you shared was more about next best action to the customer themselves. So going for a credit card, it's typically a challenging trade-off because there's all these APRs and whatever, which a typical consumer might not be as familiar with. So if they significantly enough trust their bank to give them a good proposal and to make a real recommendation that's in their interest, that's an assumption though, then the AI can indeed propose products that make their decision easier and maybe even lead to better conversion and a growing share of wallet. This is all in a very positive, optimistic scenario almost, Chris. Have you seen this already live or in a production-grade context? Have you seen this work?
We have seen other or simpler versions of what we described. Like, for example, you have unused money in your current account, which you are not earning enough of interest. And why not use that money to open a term deposit or a cash CD? So this is a very simple use cases that actually many banks are live with these features, that they look at your current account and see how much of unused money you have, and then they make recommendations for you to make an investment for it. These are very simple AI ML algorithms. Or a few other use cases would be, for example, we say cluster analysis. We look like they're a group of customers that they look like each other, and then we see what is the prime product that they use in the first 30 days, next 60 days, 90 days since onboarding. And then we can make a prediction if somebody else get onboarded, what's the similarity of that new customers with this segment and what next products do we need to recommend? These are very live use cases. These are things that, as I said earlier, AI is not that new for banking. People will be using it, but it was just expensive. So some of these examples, like especially designing for the next 60 days, 90 days, what product do I recommend to the customers? It's been live and has helped a lot on conversion rates and forecasting of product conversion rates.
Yeah, really the point of view that AI is not new in banking, which is true. It's a true statement. At the same time, you also mentioned it's now a lower cost and the talent to execute on this is more digestible, a bit more palatable. At the same time, I also read in the typical, let's say, channels that it is still rather costly to execute a full-blown AI capability, given cloud compute, given the cost of GPUs, given why NVIDIA is booming. How do you see that in relation to that statement, Chris?
So cost is relative in a sense that depends on what ratios we analyze it, but it's a lot cheaper compared to what it was before. What it was before, it was totally not accessible. Right now, you can actually just go to any cloud provider, borrow GPU, and just pay for the amount of time you borrow it. And then new architectures are coming in. For example, there is a new open source called GPT Cache, which what does this GPT Cache is? It's a concept of semantic caching. So you do not need to always use GPU when things are similar. For example, if the customer comes and asks the question, what are your credit cards? Or if another customer comes and asks similar looking questions, you don't need to use GPU for all of these questions and answers. You can actually cache them and then use the cache for responses. Or depending also on the use cases and the way you design the user experience, you can also avoid this extra token usage or extra GPU usage so that you can optimize the cost as much as possible. So there are ways now. That's a good thing. First, it's accessible. You can do it. I remember when we did the EKYC we had to wait for 6 weeks, 7 weeks to receive our GPUs, right? So it was like, and then when we start having more new customers, oh, what do we do now? We have to slow down the marketing. We order more GPUs, wait another round of 3 months, the GPUs to come in, then we can start the marketing again so we can acquire more customers. Now it's totally not like that anymore. You can just partner with these cloud solutions, buy these GPUs available for you. That's pretty much resolve that sense. And because you're making more money, and assuming that you can, you have found a way on engagement and making money with these new clients, so the cost of it is actually justifiable. You might be paying more now compared to the last rounds, but it's justifiable as a ratio of your acquisitions, right? But in the same time, these technologies like semantic cache, all these mentioned to items that I mentioned, is also becoming more and more accessible. That helps you to avoid using too much of GPUs, so you do not need to actually pay for those costs.
Yeah, I really like your answer because it's the right point of view to look at the whole use case of AI. Does it drive value, yes or no? Even if it costs you multi-millions, but you acquire just more, then it's fine, right? It's at least break even, if not better, if not beyond. But you also mentioned, hey, it's, for the first time, it's actually accessible, right? Years ago, it wasn't really accessible. It was just way too high cost and way too challenging to actually get the capability in place. I wasn't familiar with the example you just mentioned that TCB would have to slow down its onboarding because there were not sufficient GPUs available to execute. That problem is solved now. So the access is there. That's a fantastic example. Clear. So to your point, basically, you're moving to a paradigm now where in the coming few years, the cost is going to come down and down, making it even more accessible and hence probably more interesting as well from an ROI perspective and execution perspective.
That's a part that I'm very excited because my life purpose, I have selected a tagline of relentlessly elevate experience. That's something that I am very excited. So customers in terms of retail and business clients, they will be enjoying quite significant benefits, assuming banks are successfully implementing and adopting AI on the scale. For example, some examples that we just discussed on the retail piece was like, we help you to have a better access to a better loan, better access to better product that match your CVPs, match your behavior, match your spendings. So that helps you to have a better cashback, better saving, better loans. For example, one of the challenges right now, like this is a exact problem. Like you have a mortgage, your mortgage is 10%, and then you have other saving your account that you're making some money. So if somebody give you a better recommendation, hey, use some of the saving to pay off your mortgage, because if you do this down the road, 2 years down the road, you're actually saving more money rather than keeping your money into only saving. So you balance it out. So a lot of these analytics and personalized recommendations can really help majority of retail clients in a sense that how to use banking better for their life and also secure the future of their life. For business banking clients, that's quite exciting. There are a lot of interesting advancements happening there, like cash flow projections that is happening. So banks can actually detect when do you need the loan, when do you need the credit facilities, or we have this process of annual renewals, which banks, they use RMs, they go around, collect documents for annual renewals on business banking, and it's very expensive for the banks and it's very tiring for the clients. And all those processes can actually be removed or be eliminated easily by using all these AI and robotic processes so that we can actually just collect it and review it and simplify the whole process. Or this whole AR AP reconciliation of it and matching it. These are not very new use cases as well. And business banking clients, they can really enjoy to receive these services at their bank rather than receive the services later on different companies on the value chain that somehow they need to pay for that as well, which is, it's away the bottom line. But nowadays, banks may be able to offer all these services as part of the banking solution, which helps the business banking clients to enjoy the banking benefits also in the same time to save some costs that helps them to add into the bottom line. That's some angles of it. There are many other use cases that we can discuss. If you're interested, we can go through those too.
I think this captures it quite nicely in terms of the fact that for retail, it's really about driving that segment of one, right? That real deep personalization that goes way beyond just a set of products. So in every touch point, in every moment in their life cycle, you are really making proper suggestions that are valuable to them. And this should be with a genuine desire to be driving their financial wellness, right? On retail, it's super obvious what needs to happen there and what the end customer is expecting by now. On the business side, it seems like a whole lot of automation and simplification, if I may. Does that make sense, Chris? Because you also mentioned you need all these external tools right now to do your AR AP reconciliation. You have all these external systems that do most likely your projections and what have you. what would happen in a world where you can totally in-house those capabilities in your own bank and actually drive that value towards your end customer. It's a business case both ways.
That's right, totally. And also, do not forget this process that it can help the banks to speed up the underwriting for business banking. And that's a really valuable asset. Like, this is one of the use cases that I am very interested in, using LLMs to basically summarize the financial statements and improve the underwriting process for business bankings and actually automate as much as possible for underwriting so that, first of all, the bank does not need to have hundreds of underwriters. They can have much less, more professional underwriters so that they can actually just review the results of the LLM. But also in the same time, it helps their business banking clients to have a faster access to the lending and the loan and the money that they need. And these are really, like, I don't think these are also so futuristic. These are just happening now. JP Morgan example was one of them. It's just happening now. And we use also some of these use cases in my previous bank as well. Like, for example, I had these issues on the loans and I wanted to know the location. Is the traffic of the location that the person is requesting the loan has having enough traffic? So kind of application fraud level. So does it worth this much of money? This asset really worth it that much or not? These are no need to actually have only human to do anymore. You can build these LLMs, integrate it with the Google Map data, get the traffic data, put it into your decision tables, and then define your scores. And then say, is this asset really valued this much if the traffic of this area is this much? And that saves you at least 2-3 weeks of time in terms of the business banking clients. And for the good quality business banking client, this is really valuable because usually in banks, they get punished because there are so many other tail so that their loans will be processed too. And these kind of services, this kind of LLM experiences can actually improve their timeline and their access to the cash.
And I'm quite sure if we take a tour around all the retail, business, private banking, wealth management, even all the way into commercial and corporate banking contexts, if we would do a total deep dive across all those journeys, all those products, all the onboarding origination processes, it would probably be a wild matrix of opportunities you have to apply any of the AI capabilities that we're just discussing, right?
That's right. And maybe this is a bit promotional, but because I like the architecture the Backbase has built, it's a concept of event-driven architecture. And any architecture that follows EDA similar to Backbase, that will actually enable you to adopt AI even faster. Because then, like what you mentioned, you have access to those macro moments on the customer journey that you can actually trigger something outside and then bring it back to the workflow and the orchestration of the process.
Yeah, to that matter, one of the previous episodes, we spoke about the whole composable platform. We spoke about the best of suite approach, which is our philosophy of building a platform with solution lines across all lines of business. And one of the very nice things to wake up to when you have a platform in place, either as a vendor like Backbase, or if you're another bank who has self-built this, or perhaps utilized other alternatives, you have the layer in which you can centralize all your data. You have a layer where you orchestrate all of your capabilities combined and infused with the data and powered by AI engines to then inform your touch points, whether that's physical channels in the branch, whether it's digital touch points on any of the devices, or maybe it's even the APIs you're exposing. Regardless of the flavor of the data that you have chosen for, you need that engagement layer and that logic to be in place. Otherwise, it will be very hard to unlock all the good and optimistic stories we spoke about so far, Chris. Is that a fair summary or am I too black and white here?
No, it's completely fair. And I just like to add one more point to it is that usually, like when I talk to my ex-colleagues or my ex-peers in different banks, they're like always, oh, I need to centralize my data first before I can do this. And I am like trying to say, no, actually, you do not need to centralize your data first. What you need to do is define the use case that you want to achieve. And not all the use cases requires centralization of data and all type of data. Because like I have seen this in banks, they're saying we need to spend 1 year, 2 years, set up our data lake, clean up our data, integrate our data. And then after 2 years, we can come back and do this engagement, or we can come back and do this AI use case. No, you do not need to do that. And I do not agree with that way of working. That's very waterfall approach. The approach instead should be from business, from client problem solving. If you want to solve this problem, what is the requirement of the data? And frankly, when you go through this, you do not need that much of data to solve the problem of the client. And then you take it and you go and execute it. And the same benefit of composable architecture is the same thing. You do not need to do the whole thing. You can just pick that this is the vertical of the journey I'm going to go. And I only want to do this. The rest, I can do it later. And that's what we did in Techcom. And I think was really valuable. And over time, my colleagues, ex-colleagues, they're actually evolving the app even to new stages that I'm very amazed. I'm a Techcom Bank customers. And every time I look at the app, I'm very happy to see how many new capabilities being added to the app all the time.
Then let's go to my final question, if that's okay, Chris. Maybe a bit more. No, it's not promotional. It's actually educational. What does AI mean to Backbase? Because we're now also comparing the notes on, hey, you don't need to per se centralize your data. That on its own is a waterfall approach, because then you have, maybe in 1 year, you have a beautiful data lakehouse, but you never ever took the time to outside in verify what's actually the use case we're trying to solve for. So we also earlier discussed, you need to have a centralized approach when it comes to driving the touch points. You need to bring certain parts of data together to drive an engagement. Cool. Now that's exactly also where Backbase plays, right? That's our biggest mission, if anything, to re-architect banking around the customer through one single platform. Now, AI kicks in. What does it mean to Backbase? Perhaps you can shed some light there, give some perspective on our vision for AI.
When you use platforms like Backbase, the benefit of it is you can actually start going journey by journey. And when you do journey by journey, and that's what I mean, you do not need to wait for all of your data to be centralized, because you can instead just focus on that vertical of the journey that you're going through and what is really needed only for that journey. And that simplifies the life quite a lot. And when we add AI capability to Backbase, there are different angles of it that this can be discussed, and there's quite opinion world now. There are two verticals, in my opinion. One vertical is what capabilities Backbase and AI on Backbase will deliver to internal of the bank, to CSOs, to N-1s, to relationship managers. There are series of capabilities, and even marketing people within the Backbase, when they use Backbase Engage or Backbase Assist, for example, inside the organization. This Backbase AI will be able to offer quite a series of capabilities that improves collaboration, we can help to improve cost efficiency, improve customer segmentation, customer profiling, next best offer, next best action. These are all the vertical ones. And obviously, the more you adopt Backbase on various journeys, clearly the platform, that single platform becomes, have much better access to data. And as you have more data, these AI on Backbase will be able to offer more and more accurate responses and help to your clients. Just imagine having a Backbase GPT style of tool internal your organization. Your RM's gonna say, hey, I'm going to meet our client team. And then this GPT style of Backbase is integrated to your CRM, integrated to your customer support, integrated to everywhere. So rather than this RM, before just meeting the client, going to all the system to figure out what's happening, you can just ask this Backbase GPT style, give me a quick summary of his team. And then you just get all the receipt. Oh, team just called yesterday, the call center, and he gave a rating of 2 out of 5. So we know team is not happy now about this issue. Maybe you need to do something about it. So that's one vertical that the Backbase AI can offer. And the more you adopt various journeys, the more valuable this AI can get for you. And the other piece is for your clients, either retail or business. And that's the part that we got to go a bit more careful with the risk appetite of the bank. What's the appetite of the risk the bank likes to take, and how far the bank likes to go with this. It can go as like managed, meaning there's some, even say human involvement into the AI offerings and AI suggestions, or it can even go into that AI as an orchestrator for the clients. No decision making, no transaction making, none of those. It's just an orchestrator to make the life easier for the client. The decision make, the transaction making is still with the client. These are the capabilities that AI on Backbase can offer.
Yeah, perhaps to build on top of that, I would say that the way Backbase operates is that we fast follow, right? I would say the hype has been tremendous on AI. I recall having conversations on what is the AI POV of Backbase? We needed yesterday. Let's understand what really is the applied value of the technology that's tangible, that our customers are willing to consume and digest, that they are ready for, that they feel confident in when it relates to their regulatory framework in which they operate, which we have no knowledge on per se, because it depends on the country. Of course, we have knowledge, but it's highly contextual. So you can't say universally, this is what we're going to bring to the market. But mostly, I would say the back-based approach is fast follow and very much use case based. And again, it is not about that technology that is now available and more cost efficient and so forth. No, it's about the use cases becoming very clear, where we can articulate it into product value and technology capabilities we bring to the table almost instantly. And the last part is that it absolutely expands all of our solution lines, right? It expands our retail offering, it expands our business offering, it expands our private banking wealth management offering, as well as our assist capability and our engage capability, because they now move into the era of data-driven and being informed, being way more engaging for both the customer as well as the employee. So it's super exciting. It really expands the complete value proposition. So Chris, I'm going to invite you a few more times to the podcast just to share where you are on your journey in Backbase, but also to showcase how our customers are using these capabilities in real life, just like the example you shared with Techcombank, of course. Okay, that brings us to the key takeaways, Chris. So I'll just take a few highlights that I feel at least resonated with me in the conversation. I hope it also resonates with the audience. We opened up saying AI isn't new in banking. Full stop. It is not new. It's already been there for many decades. So let's also not sugarcoat it as if it's something completely new and magical. However, what is new is the fact that these technologies are now more accessible. The talent need to actually get it done, the knowledge is easier entry. So there's a way more realistic scenario where you can apply AI and actually get break even, if not a positive ROI, pretty fast. It's still a higher ticket, right? It's not cheap, but it will cost you, but there is a return to be gained. So again, AI isn't new. It's just now here in a more accessible format. And the use cases have also been there for quite a while, but we can now actually tackle them properly. Then the other part is start outside in, start use case first, right? What are you really going to tackle before you start talking about a whole massive data lakehouse transformation, which will take you many years? So don't go for the waterfall approach, was your point. And then the final part is really execute this and look through a lens of journey by journey. Let's make it digestible. For some journeys, you might not even need a completely centralized data lakehouse. You might just bring the right parts together in an engagement layer like Backbase and drive the first journey from there and deliver value. And with that momentum, just keep building and keep building the right capabilities. Yeah, and then the final part, we spoke a little bit about what does AI mean to Backbase. As I just concluded, it really expands the capabilities of the EBP. It expands the best of suite value proposition with all the different solution lines becoming more infused with data and their capabilities. That's quite a nice journey we're setting on to, Chris. So anything you would add to the key takeaways, Chris, or anything you would like to once more highlight?
Just one point. At the end, any technology that comes to at least banking scene, it has to add value to the, it has to uplift the customer lifetime value. And one of the key elements of the customer lifetime value is product holding. And AI is nothing different than that. It has to add value on that.
Clear. And with that, we're going to close the first episode where we had you at the table speaking about AI. I think it was a very insightful podcast. And I still have many more questions, Chris. So in a few weeks, I'm going to ask you back to the table. Looking forward.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Looking forward.
Likewise. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.